The fact is, Washington is making decisions based on pay to play. It's not making decisions based on evidence. When I was in Japan, I met with the Japanese princess who is the Japanese royal family liaison to North Korea. And on the 18th of February, she told me outright that Trump, Xi, and Putin cut a deal to unite the Koreas and denuclearize and demilitarize the Koreas. And I don't think Tillerson and Mattis and Pompeo know that. So the Zionist Consul General in New York City published a full-page op-ed in Newsweek, which is a Zionist rag. And that op-ed says anti-Zionism is another form of anti-Semitism. No, it is not. And this is probably the darkest thing I'm ever going to touch in my lifetime. It far exceeds anything I ever saw at CIA.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. With the firing of Rex Tillerson and the move of Pompeo potentially going to Secretary of State, and Gina Haspel being moved into the head of CIA, I wanted to explore that, and I figured I would bring back Robert David Steele, who has inside information on all of that, what his thoughts are being in the CIA for as long as he has been. I wanted to know what his thoughts are on all those recent moves. And in Robert David Steele style, he gives us his opinions, but also clues us into a lot more other things that are going on. And then we also dive into his human trafficking commission that he's part of, International Trafficking Commission. He dives into that, what it is, how he got part of that, and how they're doing really great work. So before we get into that, I want to let you know about a 72-hour screening that's going to go on teaching you how to grow your own food in less than an hour a day. It's going to be a docu-series that's free, and it'll give you a lot of information. As you know, our food is highly filled with chemicals. It's also not very nutritious. And if you really want to have a healthy family and get all the vitamins that you need, unfortunately, you need to be doing it yourself. It's something that I'm seriously looking into. I need to move to a warmer climate, which I'm actually seriously thinking about moving just because of this. So I'm going to have a link below, and hopefully you'll give it a shot. It's free, the docuseries, and see if you can get some good tips on how to do that. I also want to remind my patrons that I have a lot of exclusive content for you up on Patreon. I have 15 different exclusive interviews now. Two of my books. I am going to put up there a chapter of another book because I don't ever get it done. So I'll put that up there. So at least the ethics of aging. I'm seriously thinking about just putting that up there for you. But again, I'll be having every week I put up one or two exclusive interviews, extra questions that I have with interviewers. So go there, patrons. And anybody else who has supported the show, I thank you so much. And please consider doing the Patreon move as I have exclusive content there. So let's get into the interview now with Robert David Steele. Hi, Robert. Welcome back to the program.
Glad to be with you, Professor.
Well, I'm so glad that I get to talk to you about these issues that are going on with the CIA, with the Secretary of State. But let's first, I want to ask you, why did Trump really fire Rex Tillerson? He didn't even give him an opportunity to save face by saying he resigned. He just flat out fired him, which isn't very common by presidents.
Well, obviously, I don't have direct access into Donald Trump's mind. But what I have seen is, on the one hand, Tillerson's management style, which is straight up Exxon, get it done, worldwide, trillion-dollar responsibilities, did not play well with the cookie pushers and the Zionists at the Department of State. It was basically a clash of cultures. Number two, Tillerson appears to have been captured by the deep state. He was recommended by Condi Rice and Bob Gates. So to the extent that Trump is actually fighting the deep state, I think there came a point when he realized that Tillerson was a puppet of the deep state. He was planning a long-term stay in Syria, which is useful only to Zionist Israel. He accused Putin, without evidence, of doing this nerve attack on the agent in London. This is an agent that was pardoned by the Russian president and released to the United Kingdom by Russia, okay? I think he was killed by MI6 in a provocation, in a false flag provocation, seeking in a last desperate attempt to derail the relationship between Trump and Putin. So for a whole, and also, of course, Tillerson is reputed to have called Trump a moron. Nobody likes that. So for a whole bunch of reasons, I think Rex Tillerson just basically used up all the political capital he had with the president. And the time came to dismiss him and put in someone who may be very smart. He was number one in his class at West Point, but also, I believe, is running the risk of being captured by the deep state because he didn't figure out that CIA was lying to him about everything when he was director of CIA. So I love Tillerson. He's a great man, great American, but it was obviously a multiple clash. And I think the last straw was his accepting. I consider the Prime Minister of England to be a liar, who also sponsored the false flag on the apartment buildings in London. So Tillerson made a huge mistake in accepting her accusations against Putin without evidence.
So do you, when you say that they're captured, are you saying that they're unwittingly captured, or do you think that they're a knowing player?
That's a good question. I would say it's always some of each. What really distresses me is that the CIA and the National Intelligence Community, to take one very specific example, are on record by General Tony Zinni, United States Marine Corps, as providing at best 4% of what a president or a major commander needs to know. The fact is, Washington is making decisions based on pay to play. It's not making decisions based on evidence. And so part of Tillerson's problem is everybody in the State Department that has anything to do with the Arabs or Israel is a Zionist Jew, and more often than not, a dual citizen with conflicted loyalties. We don't have counterintelligence in this country when it comes to Zionists. Zionists own U.S. foreign policy. And so Tillerson, I think, got caught up in that. Tillerson also did not have the knowledge of intelligence that he should have had. Had he had that, he would have insisted on sponsoring the Open Source Agency and created his own open source intelligence capability, which has the advantage of creating decision support that can be shared with Congress, the president, the public, the media, and foreign allies. So Tillerson got sandbagged. The other thing is, frankly, you don't get to be the head of Exxon or a congressman or the head of a major think tank without being part of the deep state to begin with. You've been groomed. You have spent years and years of going along to get along with all these bubbas. And that essentially means that whether you're witting or unwitting, the fact is you are part of the deep state. And I would say Tillerson was certainly part of the deep state with a potential for greatness that he chose to eschew.
Well, a lot of people think that Pompeo, the move to put him into Secretary of State, is actually a move to escalate war with Iran because of his background and his aggressiveness. What do you think about that?
That could be. However, let me say something in favor of Trump. When I was in Japan, I met with the Japanese princess, who is the Japanese royal family liaison to North Korea. And on the 18th of February, she told me outright that Trump, Xi, and Putin cut a deal to unite the Koreas and denuclearize and demilitarize the Koreas. And I don't think Tillerson and Mattis and Pompeo know that. At a level of presidential grand strategy and president-to-president communications and general secretary in the case of Xi, I think Trump has cut a deal and he's playing everybody, including his cabinet, for fools. And as I watch these media morons, including John Bolton, who should be locked up in a padded room someplace, they're all saying, "Oh my God, he's gonna get fooled by this rocket man," and blah 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 blah. These people are idiots. Donald Trump knows exactly what he's doing. The deal has been cut. He is going to get the Nobel Peace Prize for ending the possibility of war in Korea. If anyone is against this, it's the Chinese, because they like having the North Korean buffer. They like having people in poverty and so forth on their southern border buffering them from North Korea. They're very worried in China below Xi. They're very worried that the combination of very low-cost labor in North Korea and very high technology in South Korea is going to create an economic powerhouse that will be competitive with China. And that could well be. But I think General Secretary Xi is playing the long game. And Xi Jinping is now president for life in China. Putin is, for all de facto, for all purposes, president for life in China. And I'll tell you, frankly, I would support a third and fourth term for Donald Trump, if only to really, really piss off all the people that have been trying to torpedo him.
But a life presidency is not.
No, it's not. But my point, Sarah, is it's going to take 25 years to undo all of the damage that has been done since the assassination of John F. Kennedy by his own government. John F. Kennedy was assassinated by Allen Dulles, J. Edgar Hoover, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Texas Energy, New York Money, the Cuban Jewish Mafia, and the Zionists. Arnon Milchan and Yitzhak Rabin were in Dallas to observe the assassination of John F. Kennedy on behalf of the State of Israel. And more recently, I think Arnon Milchan, very likely subject to a federal lawsuit and actual legal discovery, I believe he played a role as the theatrical producer for 9/11. There's no evidence of this other than the fact that he made two movies prior to 9/11 of airplanes crashing into buildings. And he was the nuclear trigger guy for the CIA back when CIA was supporting Israeli nuclear smuggling. Fast forward to today, I think he's very much a part of the Zionist state influence on the US economy, the US government, and US society. So this is a man that if you had a proper counterintelligence capability in this country, we would be all over him. We would be looking at every single email and phone call that he's made, which, by the way, we have in the NSA databases. We just haven't processed them.
Yeah, the NSA has everything.
It has everything for the last 10 years, most everything for the last 15 years, but it only processes 1% of its information. And if Bill Binney and I have had one moment of glory in the last 5 years, it's the letter we sent to Jeff Sessions telling him how to go into the unprocessed database and pull out every email and every phone call for every U.S. dual citizen traitor, every elite pedophile, and every white collar criminal, including Goldman Sachs.
Let me
We have
ask, go ahead.
but we haven't processed it all.
Well, let me ask you, there's this really big push to anybody that talks about Zionism is racist against Jews.
No, anti-Semitic. That's
Anti-Semitic. That's the word I was trying to. Sometimes words don't come to me that are usually right at the tip of my tongue. When do you think that, or ever, do you think the American people and people around the world will wake up and say Zionism is a political conversation and
Actually, it's an
anti-
espionage. It's a subversion treason conversation. It's not a religious conversation, and it's not about the land of Israel. It's about the very deliberate subversion of the United States of America by an enemy within.
Yeah, so when do you even think it's, I mean, because
It has
they
started, Sarah. It has
good.
started. I mean, my most widely read essay is Zionism in America, Seven Strikes and Counting. And since then, the Zionists have gone up to 13 strikes. And in fact, my essay was noticed by the Zionists. So the Zionist Consul General in New York City published a full-page op-ed in Newsweek, which is a Zionist rag. And that op-ed says anti-Zionism is another form of anti-Semitism. No, it is not. And America, led by veterans and the conservatives, now understand this. And in fact, strike number six or seven was Netanyahu telling the American progressive and reform Jews to piss off, that they get nothing from Israel, because Israel is all around about the Shabbat supremacist cult that believes that Goyim and Gentiles are animals. Okay, this is a matter of record in all of their literature going back for hundreds of years. So Netanyahu, who is now about to be indicted and may end up going to jail if he doesn't commit suicide, Netanyahu is on very thin ice. And I believe Donald Trump understands full well the difference between Zionism and Judaism. And in fact, it's very important to point out there are only 9 million Jewish voters in the United States of America. The power of Israel in the United States of America is based on bribery and blackmail. And Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile enabler who has everybody on videotape, is the poster child for how the Zionists subvert the US government, the US courts, and the US economy.
Well, and anytime I see a comment, people comment all the time about the Jews. I delete those. You can comment all you want about Zionism, but do not get into the Jewish
I
thing.
agree completely. Do not pick on the Jews, particularly since the progressive and the reform Jews are loyal American citizens who have all of the rights that every American citizen enjoys. They've simply been lied to by the Zionist propaganda machine. They're also repressed. The Anti-Defamation League is the Zionist secret police. And if there is a God in my lifetime, AIPAC and ADL will be required to register as agents of a foreign power, which is what Kennedy was going to do, and one of the reasons why Israel was fully complicit in the assassination of American President John F. Kennedy.
You mentioned that a lot of people are dual citizens and they have two people that they serve, or two countries they serve. Now, how do we know who's a dual citizen?
Well, let me unpack that a little bit. There are two countries that have so-called legal dual citizenship with the United States of America. One is Israel, the other is Ireland. And the Ireland thing was a Kennedy thing. A lot of our dual citizens are secretly dual citizens. They haven't declared this, which means that on their SF-86, they have failed to report a very insignificant fact. But let me also emphasize that the dual citizenship is merely a marker. There are so many good Jewish people who have been misled by the Zionists, who have been put into a position of committing treason because they think they're helping Israel and it does not conflict with the interests of the United States of America. And I respect the fact that they're being deceived in that way. The bottom line here is that the Zionist espionage machine has been off limits for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We are not allowed to keep our own house clean. And that's something that I hope that President Trump will fix after he cuts FBI in half, because it's clear that all of the people installed by Obama are, in fact, traitors who need to be indicted. And in fact, one may be fired right before getting his pension to send a very strong signal. That's McCabe. McCabe clearly betrayed the public interest and was a co-conspirator and was did a lot of evil things. And I think he won't lack for money. The Zionists and everybody else will make him a multimillionaire if he's not already with offshore accounts. But we have to clean house. And we have to, for example, also end the use of contractors. I mean, one of the things that Gina Haskell, and we'll talk about her in a minute, but one of the things she's going to be faced with is this idiotic idea from Eric Prince that we should privatize clandestine and covert operations. That is another way of reducing the integrity of the U.S. government. So, long and the short is, we don't have a U.S. government that makes evidence-based decisions in the public interest. We have a U.S. government that is completely penetrated by the Zionists, which does pay-to-play decision-making.
Well, let's get on to Gina Haspel since you brought her up. She ran a CIA torture center in Thailand, and many people are concerned about her getting in charge of the CIA with that kind of background. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me first say that any woman who rises to the top in CIA has had to eat a lot of shit. She has had to put up with a very toxic culture, which is essentially a whole bunch of overweight white men with no ethics. So for her to get all the way to the top like that, she clearly had to outmaneuver and really almost outcase officer all these overweight white men with no ethics. Who mistreat women with impunity. I mean, Jeanine Bruckner won a lawsuit against the CIA, paid for her law degree with it. She was one of my senior case officers when I was overseas, and she was railroaded by these overweight white guys with no ethics. And I'm glad that she won. So let me say that I give Gina a clean sheet, fresh start. And I have posted on my website five specific conditions for her threading the needle. When she managed that overseas torture site, she was playing the game by the rules in place at the time. She now has an opportunity, and I would not deny her the opportunity to be the chief of the clandestine service at CIA, provided that she considers my five recommendations. And I'm not sure that she will, but I honestly feel I have to put them out. Number one, she has to acknowledge the moral and practical errors of the past, and that includes drone assassination. Under her tenure as deputy director, we have been assassinating thousands of people with armed drones, 98% of whom are documented to be complete innocents, men, women, and old children. So she has to reject that. She has to acknowledge that much of what CIA does is not worth the money we pay for it. CIA is actually a sham. Most of the clandestine information that we get is a handout from foreign liaison. We don't have any unilateral assets of note in the Middle East, to take one example, or Central Asia. Generally, we're getting handouts from the Israelis, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, and we don't know how to tell when they're lying to us. Because part of the problem is NSA does not provide signals intelligence support to the clandestine service. It also doesn't provide signals intelligence support to the counterintelligence people. And some moron at the senior level is going to say, oh, that's wrong. We send all of our signals. That's crap. When I was overseas, a bottle of scotch bought me NSA signals in my country on my terrorism target for one day. I had 15 glorious hits. And had I been able to do that in the 1980s, every single day, I would have wiped out terrorism in Latin America. But NSA doesn't do that. They work by a priority system that basically is repetitive collection against the Russians, the Chinese, and a couple of other targets. And they don't do jack shit to support clandestine intelligence tactically overseas, or military operations tactically overseas, or clandestine operations here at FORM. So Gina has to make the point that she's not running the Central Intelligence Agency. She's running an isolated piece of the intelligence community that is 96% shit and 4% useful. So if she does that, go ahead.
I was going to say what Bill Benny said is, and Kirk Wiebe is, they're not even serious about doing.
I agree completely.
I mean, come on. If you're not giving the people what they need, and you're not, and people are asking for it, and you still aren't doing it, you're just not even serious.
It's a spending machine, and these people lie to the president with impunity. One of the best books on the rules in Washington is by Morton Halperin, called Bureaucracy and Foreign Policy, I think. And in that book, he says rule one is lie to the president if you can get away with it. That's what CIA does for a living. It lies to the president. It lies to everybody. It is a massive sham. Okay. Now, the last thing that she has to agree to is an open source agency that is in the executive office of the presidency and that sets the bar for what can be known with legal open sources and methods. And nothing should be gone after with clandestine or covert sources and methods unless the open source agency says we can't get it and the president validates that it's worthy of national risk taking. So my bottom line is I think Gina's going to blow it. She might get confirmed because there are going to be a lot of people reluctant to deny a woman the privilege of being the director of the clandestine service. The director of the whole shooting match.
And why?
What's that?
Why? Why would they deny it just for basis on female?
Well, there's the whole Hillary Clinton thing. I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton gave women a bad name. She was the worst possible candidate for president if what you wanted to do was break the glass ceiling. This is a woman who is indictable for pedophilia, for charity fraud, for treason, selling Syrian Yemen to Saudi Arabia, selling Uranium-1 to Russia, selling Libya to the French. So on balance, I think Gina has a 60 to 65% chance of being confirmed. If she were to embrace my ideas, I think that would go to 90% and we would all be better for it.
Well, Rand Paul came against both of them really strong. He's thinking that escalation of war by Pompeo, and then he's really worried about the torture with Gina. Do you, what do you think? Why is Rand Paul coming out so strong?
Again, everything is so complicated. For example, I think the Marine Corps Beirut's bombing was done by the Israelis, not by the Iranians. The Beirut Marine Corps barracks bombing, which Jim Mattis still has a corncob up his ass over that, okay? The Secretary of Defense is absolutely convinced that Iran did the Marine Corps Beirut barracks bombing and that he therefore wants to nuke Iran as revenge, Marine to Marine. I think it was the Israelis. And as I was reading into this, I noticed that one Marine stopped an Israeli tank column 1 month prior to the Beirut barracks bombing. And I personally believe that this was a false flag by the Zionists to punish the Marine Corps for having stopped its tank column. And I believe that the USS Liberty, as well as 9/11, are classic bracketing examples of the degree to which the Zionists are willing to kill Americans as part of their grand plan, their grand strategy. So in my humble opinion, Iran is not the enemy. The Zionists inside our perimeter are the enemy. And until Jim Mattis and the FBI and everybody else wraps their head around that, you're going to have people like Ron Paul making the right call for the wrong reason. He's right that Pompeo and Gina are about escalating war with Iran. He's wrong about the larger aspects of it. Donald Trump does not have a grand strategy. He doesn't have intelligence supporting a grand strategy. I mean, Sam Nunn, one of the greatest chairmen of the Senate Armed Services Committee ever in history. I mean, I think that man walks on water. Sam Nunn said, You can't establish your force structure and your military plans and operations until you first have a grand strategy. And you can't get a grand strategy until you first understand your threats. There are 10 high-level threats to the United States of America established by Lieutenant General Brent Scowcroft, who was the last serious national security advisor we've had in modern history. Everyone since then has been a pissant. And I explicitly include Condi Rice and Herbert McMaster. And Susan, whatever her name is. I mean, these are all idiots that just go through the motions. The 10 high-level threats to humanity are in the following order: poverty, infectious disease, environmental degradation, interstate conflict, civil war, genocide, other atrocities, including trade in women and children, proliferation, terrorism, and transnational crime, which includes all the evil that is being done by the central banks, Wall Street, and the City of London, which, among other things, are manipulating exchange and currency rates to screw the American public for their own profit. We don't have a grand strategy that addresses all 10 of those threats. We don't have an intelligence community that is capable of defining those 10 threats and telling the president what he needs to do in policy and cost terms to address all of those 10 threats in a sustainable, effective manner going out 25 years. So I think Donald Trump is essentially his own foreign policy, his own defense policy, his own domestic policy, because right now he has a cabinet that is ignorant, that is not getting decision support, and he literally is feeling very, very lonely at the top.
So now, why is that we're incapable of having a grand strategy? Is it because of our system of government, or is it because of the corruption that's so intertwined?
Well,
Or
it's
both?
both. It's both. I mean, for a long time, I really only started getting wise in the last 5 years. Until then, I was just another academic, just another bureaucrat, just another author who kind of thought that what he read and what he saw was reality, and it's not. There are two people that really understand reality in my mind. One is named John Rappaport, the other is named David Icke. Until you get into those complexities, you don't realize that all of this is kabuki theater. We have a two-party tyranny that disenfranchises 70% of the voting public, and that is absolutely committed to enabling the deep state, which is not the shadow government, it's above the shadow government, looting all of us. Now, when I first started out, my first 30 years of reformism were focused on intelligence reform. And it wasn't until about 2010 that I realized that you can't get intelligence reform or governance reform or economic reform or national security reform unless you first get electoral reform. There are 12 separate different things that are wrong with our election system, including electronic voting machines where the winner is decided before the first vote is cast. Okay? People need to get a grip on the fact that all of this is fraud. So in Trump 2.0, which I just published, I outline some initiatives that are involving people, putting veterans in front, technology, creating the Truth Channel, and leadership. Donald Trump has to step up, sponsor the Election Reform Act, have fireside chats every day, and literally educate the American people up to the point that they can say in November 2018, the hell with both parties. We're going to vote for people, not parties, and we're going to put in a swing vote of libertarians, greens, reforms, constitution, the occasional working families and justice, and of course, a huge swath of independents. And every person in that swing vote thing is going to be elected based on promising to not caucus with and not vote with either of the two wings of the two-party tyranny, the Democratic wing or the Republican wing. One bird, two wings, same crap. Put them out of business. Donald Trump needs an honest Congress that demands evidence-based decision support. And if you combine election reform with an open source agency, and then you put veterans in front in 435 districts demanding that the public focus on people, not parties, and holding every single person that's elected accountable for referring to the public every single vote in advance, now all of a sudden you have a democracy.
Well, what do you think about the Rand Paul bill that he's putting through to audit the Fed for real? We did a partial one back, I don't know how many years ago now, but he's really close to getting this passed, but now they're trying to stall it because the politicians don't want to be on record voting no against it. And so they're just trying to stall it completely.
I think if Donald Trump wants to get more Republicans elected, he should pick up Rand Paul's initiative and go with it. Not only do we need to audit the Fed, we need to nationalize the Fed. And we need a constitutional convention or convention of states at some point down the road. Right now, the public is not smart enough for that. We have dumbed them down and fattened them up for 25 years, 50 years, actually. So Donald Trump needs to become the great educator. And he can't do that. He will not become the great educator unless he has both an Election Reform Act and an open source agency that gives him the Trump Studio and the Truth Channel and the two-way dialogue so that we can get 200 million Americans into a truth network that cannot be censored or manipulated. Right now, hashtag Google Gestapo, I coined that term. Hashtag Google Gestapo has just had a massive purge of conservative and progressive voices. Everybody who's questioning the official narrative on false flags, deep state, fake news has been purged. And Donald Trump has said nothing. This is a Title VII discrimination, monopoly, antitrust lawsuit that is waiting to be put together. And so I tell you, on the one hand, I think Donald Trump has really done some important things. And another reason why he fired Tillerson was because he was not supporting the Korea unification and he wanted long-term bases in Syria, because Tillerson is an oil man and he wanted Israel to keep the Golan Heights, which is on top of oil. And he wants to play favorites on the gas pipeline that is being argued between the one from Iran to the Mediterranean to the other. Bottom line here is Donald Trump has done very well with the 1%. He now needs to pivot and embrace, empower, listen to, and use the 99%. And that's what he's not doing. That's why the guy in Pennsylvania lost. The guy in Pennsylvania lost because Donald Trump and the GOP did not cut a deal with the libertarians. The libertarians cost the Republicans the election in Pennsylvania.
Well, don't you think you talk about the education of the Truth Channel? We need to educate the people. Don't you think just auditing the Fed right there would go a long way to waking people up?
It's going to take 3 to 4 years to audit the Fed. This is not something you can do overnight. Plus, other people have already done audits, and you've interviewed Catherine Austin Fitz, who's certainly one of my heroes, and she has been representing the professors that have been auditing the $21 trillion and more that
But
has
that's
been
just out of the Department of Defense and HUD. This isn't the
No,
Fed. That's a whole nother deal. But go ahead.
what I'm told is that Donald Trump has got all of this under control, and he's actually going to take that money back. I was told by a person that I can't quote the other day that Donald Trump is going to take back so much money from these people who are looking at give the money back or go to Guantanamo. This is the choice they're looking
It
at.
has to be like that.
Well, he's going to take so much money back that I was actually told the United States would become a creditor nation rather than a debtor nation. I also believe Trump is very seriously considering a debt jubilee for the $3 trillion in debt that is focused on individuals, student debt, small business debt, family credit card debt, and elderly health debt. Donald Trump has the power to wipe out all $3 trillion of that debt overnight.
That would change their circumstance. Now, what?
I mean, America would be in the streets celebrating the greatest president ever. This is a no-brainer, particularly if he does it on the 4th of July.
Well, and he also needs to deal with the pension scam, the fact that all these people are ready to lose their pensions when they didn't fund the pensions like they should have.
It's not just that they didn't fund the pensions. It's legal in the United States of America to transfer your pension obligations to a shell company and then have it go bankrupt. That's legal.
Well,
Okay?
it's yes.
There is so much that needs to be fixed. I mean, we now know, for example, The Atlantic is one of my favorite journals, although it's very wrong-headed on many things. But The Atlantic Monthly has published an absolutely superb essay that makes it clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that corporations are not people, and that the Supreme Court law that says that corporations are people is based on outright lies. That needs to be brought forward as a court case, and that needs to be reversed. Corporations are not people, period.
Yeah, that messed up everything when they did that. Well, let's get into something that's really important to both of us, close to my heart, and that's pedophilia. And you are involved in an international commission on pedophilia. Can you explain that?
Well, let me take that in three parts. Number one, I'm not sure how I really got enthused about the importance of pedophilia, except that I vaguely connected it to a very important way of taking down the deep state. And I've been working pedophilia for several years now. And I remember distinctly, I was in the JFK Art Center, whatever you call it, here in Washington, talking to some people as I was delivering something to the president. And I brought up pedophilia, and they looked at me like I was an insane person. This was back in the days of Denny Hassert and the kids being given VIP tours in the White House, where they get to take off all their clothes and be molested by people in the White House. They just couldn't believe it. Well, Pizzagate changed all of that. Because of Pizzagate, I started nurturing a book by West Point graduate Joaquim Hagopian called Pedophilia and Empire, Satan, Sodomy, and the Deep State. And that's free online, and it's being read all over the world. And now it's starting to be translated. He just released chapter 15 on Hollywood. Every chapter is free online and also on Amazon Kindle. The tiny URL is Pedo Empire. That brought me to the attention of some people that were creating a judicial commission of inquiry, which is not a law enforcement body, and it is not a basically, it doesn't have legal standing inside of existing jurisdictions, but it has its own international natural law legal standing. And it is a commission of inquiry. It is led by Sir John Walsh of Brana, a Duke in the Australian Who's Who. And I have been asked to be the chief counsel, and I have accepted. William Binney and Steve Arnold and Arno Reuser are three of our technical directors, and this should be a wake-up call for the elite, because that means that I have at my disposal capabilities superior to what NSA and CIA have. I can get into all of these internet circuits and all of these telephone circuits and so forth within the law. That's the distinction between Thin Thread by Bill Binney and NSA. Bill Binney and Thin Thread are within the rule of law. NSA is way outside the rule of law. So, long and the short of it is, we have set upon ourselves a task to do in 1 year what no government anywhere has done. Our starting number is 8 million children per year disappearing. That's 22,000 a day. 8 million children a year. We want to document as close as we can toward 8 million a year. Are these, in fact, the missing numbers? Then we want to document what happens to them. Pedophilia is not just about child kidnapping or even child breeding. There are lowlifes in America that are breeding children as a cash crop. They're literally getting pregnant and selling the baby, and there's a very high demand now for fetuses. People in the satanic circles like to eat fetuses. This is just beyond belief, but it's there. So, child kidnapping, child cash crop, child slavery, child sex abuse, and now you get into the really dark side of it. Beyond child sex abuse is child murder. Their average life expectancy, we believe, is 2 years, except for the ones that are being groomed to take over the higher networks. 2 years. So, child murder, put them in an incinerator in New Jersey so the New York people don't have to get their hands dirty. Or child ritual murder. Kathy O'Brien's got a great book out, Transformation of America. She might be one of our witnesses in London. And child. I mean, this is even, I've even read about where they have a child get pregnant and they deliver the fetus fresh on the floor of the ritual environment to eat the fetus within minutes of its coming out of the womb. I mean, this is
Why?
how sick these people, this is
Why?
this, because they can. It's impunity, it's arrogance, it's satanic evil at its very best. And then the last third of child abuse is body harvesting. Drinking adrenalized blood because they've been terrorized before they've been killed, harvesting their bone marrow, which is an anti-aging device, and harvesting their body organs, which is another anti-aging device. This is probably the darkest thing I'm ever going to touch in my lifetime. It far exceeds anything I ever saw at CIA. This is the ultimate evil, and it's particularly evil because Scotland Yard and Interpol and the FBI and the 18,000 police jurisdictions across America are turning a blind eye to this.
Is it
Children.
because people just can't fathom that this is what's going on? Because that's
I think
hard.
it's, no, I think that's one third of the reason. One third of the reason is because they're actively complicit. One of the neat things, one of the upsides of having all of the emails and phone calls across America for the last 10 years is we have every dirty cop, every dirty prosecutor, and every dirty judge online. We've got it all.
And so, if we're serious, we can do it.
If we're serious, we can do it. I think it would take 5 years. This is a long-term harvesting project. I mean, right now, NSA can be harvested, at the 100 to 1,000 level. If you really want to get 10,000 dirty cops, 10,000 dirty prosecutors, and 10,000 dirty judges, that's a 3 to 5 year project.
Do you think Trump really wants to do that? Because he can.
I don't know. I don't know. I really pray that Donald Trump wants to clean up America and make America great again. But if he doesn't pivot from the 1% to the 99%, he will be lucky to finish out his term.
Well, let's finish it off with whatever you want to share with listeners.
Trump 2.0. I absolutely believe in Donald Trump. I absolutely believe that Donald Trump has the possibility of winning the Nobel Peace Prize for uniting the Koreas and demilitarizing, denuclearizing the Koreas. I absolutely believe that Donald Trump has the right instincts. I'm not very confident about his present staff setup, including many of his cabinet members, but he has the benefit of the doubt. What I want from Donald Trump is what I have outlined in Trump 2.0. Sponsor the Election Reform Act, sponsor the Open Source Agency, have a Trump channel, have a Trump studio, have a Truth channel, and literally re-engage Americans. I want to take Trump from 27% to 70% with veterans in the forefront.
Well, if he can do the things like we were talking about cleaning up corruption, he will be there overnight.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Robert. I really appreciate it.
Sarah, you are the best. Professor Westall, thank you for having me on your program.